Great. So that's reading Luke's Gospel account of Jesus' resurrection, and that's chapter 24, starting at verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb earlier this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, 'Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, 'Do you have anything here to eat?' They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, 'This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms.' Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, 'This is what is written: the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high.'"
Well, we're going to come to that passage in a moment. 36 years ago, Carolyn and I were living in Sydney, and over this Easter weekend, we went camping. Well, that was the plan, but things worked out very differently, for it poured with rain that weekend, and we returned to Sydney. And in Easter 1983, I did something I didn't normally do. I went to church. Not because I was religious, but musical. I love choral music, and in one of the cathedrals, they were singing Mozart's Requiem. As I look back, I don't remember the music, but I do remember something else. I remember the message. It was very simple. This is what it was. It was turn to God. The preacher assumed that I and others had turned away from God, which was true, for I was living without any reference to him, living in God's world as if he didn't exist. And the call was to change my attitude to God from one of indifference and apathy and hostility to one of acknowledgement, acceptance, and trust. And the Bible word for that sort of change of attitude is repentance. And the call the preacher made that day is the call repeatedly made here in the Bible, in God's word. We'll come to an example in a moment. But before we do that, I'm conscious that for some of us, we may be thinking, what is Easter all about? Isn't it just an extended opportunity to enjoy the sunshine and have a holiday and eat chocolate? For Christians, Easter is about celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, the Jesus who was crucified, dead and buried, but 3 days later raised to life. Events that changed the world. Now, that is a big claim. But I suggest it matters massively to you and me that Jesus rose from the dead and is alive today. It's a message for all people everywhere and worth listening to. You might think differently. Many do. I was speaking to someone recently who said, it's a bit, your view of the resurrection is a bit like my view of life on another planet. It may or may not be true, but it's no big deal. If you find it helpful to think about life on another planet, well, good for you. Just don't push what matters to you on me. Well, I'm going to read some words from the book of Acts in the Bible, written soon after the resurrection. Have a look with me if you've got a Bible there. This will help you, as Carolyn said, to check out what I'm saying. Page 1114, 1114. This is Acts chapter 17. The Apostle Paul, a follower of Jesus, is speaking in Athens. And he's, as he looks out on these people, not Christian people, not religious people particularly, but he sees that they're interested in God with a small g. And he says this in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, halfway down on the left-hand side there on page 1114. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof to this to everyone by raising him from the dead. 3 points I want to make about the resurrection. The first is this: don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. In the past, he says, God overlooked such ignorance. He's talking about ignorance of Almighty God, the creator of all things, who we meet in the Bible. Luke, the writer, comments that all people everywhere are worshippers of some sort, worshipping maybe something unknown, maybe a vague idea of God with a small g, maybe an image made by man out to look like out of stone or gold or something, as to what he might think God looks like. Well, whatever people thought, how ignorant they were of the one true living God, he says, I'm going to overlook such ignorance. I'm not going to let it count against you, because something more important has happened. He commands all people everywhere to repent, to turn to God. It's that message that I heard in 1983. It assumes that all people everywhere have turned away from God, whatever their background or religious experience or education or sex or color. He commands, he says, all people everywhere to turn to God. I wonder if you're aware that this is what God commands us. Maybe you're ignorant. I certainly was 36 years ago. I had no idea that God was making that sort of demand on me. And it was not one I really wanted to respond to in obedience. For that is what God commands us to do. You know, when the police called to stop you on a motorway because of an accident, you're expected to obey. You don't think, well, you might think, it doesn't really matter. I won't take it too seriously. I'll just carry on driving. No, for good reason, they command you to stop. For your safety, it is actually a kind and helpful command. They know what lies ahead, and you don't. So it's merciful of them, because what they're doing is they're saving you from danger. But why might God issue such a command to repent? Well, he explains, because, see what it says, God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. Are you aware of this, that judgment is coming? God's judgment on each of us. We will stand before him and give account to him. Now, at one level, of course, we all like the idea of justice. Think of all the injustice there is in the world. The appalling crimes, the evil that prospers, the injustices that might be going on. You might be suffering from some of those today. Well, there's a day coming, he says, when justice will be done, when good will prevail, and when wrong, all the evil and wickedness of men and women will be judged. And it says with justice. So there'll be no miscarriages of justice. There'll be nobody escaping justice, because it will be God himself doing the judging, the God who knows all the secrets of our hearts, from whom nothing is hidden. And actually it says he, that is God, will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He tells us in advance who the judge will be. How do we know? The resurrection of Jesus tells us it'll be him. As it says, he's given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. Don't be ignorant of this. Now, whilst we see injustices, we long for wrongs to be righted, we do see ourselves often beyond the reach of such justice. We don't see how far we have been from righteous in all we've said and done. But the reality is we have a charge sheet against us, a record of wrongs against one another and against God. And the wrongs condemn us, and we're guilty. And all our excuses will fail before the perfect judge. And because we're guilty, he commands all people everywhere to repent, to turn to God. And here's the surprise. This command is actually very good news. Because as we turn to Jesus, we turn to the one who has paid the price for all our wrongs. For this reason, he was crucified. He's taken the punishment due to us. We're no longer guilty. He forgives us all our wrongs. It's so surprising, isn't it? It's not what we expect when we come before the judge, when we're guilty. So Luke is saying the resurrection really matters. It's irrelevant whether we find this news helpful or unhelpful, because Jesus will be our judge whether we turn to God or not. You know, when you go through a speed camera, if you're driving over the limit, you look in your rear view mirror and see the flash. It's no good saying, I was ignorant, I didn't see the sign. That won't stop you from getting a ticket. You're guilty. It's not unlike closing your eyes and saying there's no such thing as light, because behind your eyes everything is dark. Don't be ignorant. Consider the evidence. See what he says at the end of the sentence? He has given proof of this, that God has appointed Jesus as judge, to all men by raising him from the dead. So let's turn back to Luke 24 and consider the evidence for the resurrection. We'll consider the evidence for the resurrection. This is on page 1061, the passage that Naomi just read us. Four pieces of evidence he presents. Evidence number one, the women go to the tomb where Jesus had been put. At the end of the previous chapter, he tells us they had seen the body laid in the tomb, the body of Jesus. What a shock, therefore, to come, verse 2, they found the stone rolled away, like we saw that picture at the beginning, from the tomb. But when they entered, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. So the first evidence, in a sense, is that there is no body, or the body is missing. Evidence number two, the second witness, verse 4, two men in clothes that gleam like lightning, messengers from God, angels, who know what's happened. The men say to the women, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. And here the missing body is explained. It fits with what Jesus had said would happen, that he would suffer, die, and on the third day be raised. evidence number three. In verses 13 to 32, we have the account of these two men walking on the road to Emmaus. They're shattered by the events of Jesus' arrest and trial and crucifixion. And they're joined by another as they walk along, who asks them what the matter is. And they tell him what's happened. And now they're utterly confused and perplexed and amazed, all those emotions, because now they've had news that the body has gone and that there are reports that Jesus is alive. And then we read in verse 27, this third person explaining what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself, for this is nobody else but the risen Jesus. At this point, they don't recognize him, they're ignorant. And they persuade Jesus to stay and eat with them. And as Jesus takes the bread and gives thanks and breaks it, we read in verse 31, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. That earlier lack of recognition is reversed and the confusion is gone. It was through listening to Jesus, hearing him explain the events that had happened, that they came to understand, that God opened their eyes. It's the same today. We need to hear Jesus, the message of Jesus, explained through the words of the scripture. Because his words explain his work. And as his work is explained, so Jesus reveals himself. God opens eyes. Evidence number four, he appears to them all. At the end of the chapter there, verse 36, while they were still talking about this, Jesus stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled and do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see I have." What Luke is doing is say, consider the evidence. Different people, different contexts, all corroborate. Jesus has been raised. It is not the end. There is life beyond death. He is the